Good morning.
Good morning.
Well, welcome everyone on this beautiful Sunday and Hot Dog Sunday. And it's all decorated next door, so I hope you can stay after church and fellowship and have some good food. Several announcements. I'm not going to make all these. You can go over these yourself later. Be sure to pass your red pad down with your name, address, that type of information. Have a record of your attendance. We would appreciate that. Remind you that nursery care is available next door, and also have a quiet room over here with the speakers in there. The Valley Garden is getting started again, so you can contact Kathy or Megan or Jim about it. There should be a sign-up sheet. The congregational meeting will be held June the 1st to present audited financials, and I believe we're also going to vote on an item to do with the investment fund. The Sacrament of Communion will be celebrated on June 1st. I know you'll want to be here for that. Also, it's time for Vacation Bible School. That'll be July 14th through the 18th at 6:30 in the afternoon. Looking for teachers and helpers. So if you want to be a part of that, please let someone know. Abitibi, I never know if I'm saying that right. The box is going to be removed soon. We were getting paid for that, and we're no longer getting any funds for that. Volunteer needed for the women's luncheon. I believe they're going to be discussing that soon. And I believe that's it. This is the day that the Lord hath made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Opening hymn of praise for this morning is number 9. Praise the Lord, ye heavens, adore him.
Thank you.
Let our worship continue with the prayer of confession as you find printed within your bulletin. Dear Heavenly Father,
we worship you as Creator, Redeemer, and Sustainer of all life. We praise you for all the mercy, grace, and love you have given to your children. Forgive us when we allow troubled hearts to rule our lives. Help us to overcome our anxiety and fear over certain situations. Remind us that you have ultimate control over all of life. May we use the faith we have received to grow into spiritual maturity. Grant us the courage to act on our faith with love. Teach us how to be like Jesus. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Let us take a moment as we bow our heads and close our eyes for your personal silent prayer confession. Friends, believe in the good news of the gospel, for in Christ we are forgiven.
We believe in the forgiveness of sins. We are saved by grace through faith. This is God's gift in Jesus Christ.
Traditional Apostles' Creed.
I believe
God the Father Almighty, the Maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, His only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day He arose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence He shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Let's take a moment and greet one another. You're not sure someone's name asks.
Thank you.
Responsive reading, dedicated service, 674 in the back of your hymnals. 674, dedicated service. I appeal to you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship.
Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that you may prove what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect.
For by the grace given to me, I bid everyone among you not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think with sober judgment, each according to the measure of faith which God has assigned him.
For as in one body we have many members, and all members do not have the same function, so we, though many, are one body in Christ, and individually members one of another.
Let love be genuine. Hate what is evil. Hold fast to what is good.
Love one another with brotherly affection. Outdo one another.
Never flag in zeal. Be aglow with the Spirit. Serve the Lord.
Rejoice in your hope. Be patient in tribulation. Be constant in prayer.
Contribute to the needs of the saints. Practice hospitality.
Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse them.
Rejoice with those who rejoice. Weep with those who weep.
Live in harmony with one another. Do not be haughty, but associate with the lowly. Never be conceited.
Repay no one evil for evil, but take thought for what is noble in the sight of all. If possible, so far as it depends upon you, live peaceably with all.
Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good.
This time I'll ask the elder on the door to come forward with prayer requests and praise.
Good morning, church family.
Good morning.
Arlie is asking for prayer for her brother and sister-in-law, Tom and Debbie Cornelius. I believe this is your brother-in-law. Is Tom your brother-in-law? Brother-in-law and sister-in-law. Prayer for strength as they face personal challenges. I ask for prayer for my husband, Bill. He's going into finals this week and has some papers and some exams, and he's feeling some stress and pressure. And I pray that he stays focused on his true purpose and doesn't get caught up in getting the result of an A. One of the many reasons I love this church is the people who serve God and serve each other. And Kathy has submitted a praise request for Mabe Sato, Sue Gill, Sue Galley, and Megan Nelson. Praise and deep-hearted thank you to all who gave up just a few hours of their time last night for the Summertime Fellowship. Their dedication proves to be a true blessing from God. And our friend Sandy Selman, who has been facing her own challenges, wishes to thank everyone that sent cards and for all the prayers. They helped me come back truly quicker than the doctor thought. So thank you, my GVPC family, for all you mean so very much to me. I want to say a very special thank you to Kathy Saggy for getting me to the hospital and staying with me. Thank you, and praise our Heavenly Father for all he does.
Bow a word of prayer, then we'll lead you into the Lord's Prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day, the opportunity to gather together to worship, to pray, to sing, to fellowship, to eat, to get to know one another a little better. As we serve you, we also serve one another. Thank you for that opportunity, that privilege. Thank you for those that are being installed today as an elder and deacons. Bless them and touch them in their lives, and may the church support them in their ministry. Thank you for everyone that takes part in the life and fellowship of Glenshaw Valley. For what they do, it may be a position that they're recognized and seen. It may be something that people don't even know that they're doing. But you see, you know all, and we thank you for that. Bless them, Lord. For all the prayers that have been lifted up in the praise reports, we thank you this day. Not that anyone is going through times of trouble or heartache. We all have troubled hearts at times. But that you help us through the power of the Holy Spirit and one another. So we lift these prayers up to you, reminding you that we do need your help and reminding ourselves that our greatest help comes from above. Inspire us, fill us with your Holy Spirit, that we can handle the stresses and strains of this life, whatever life may throw at us. And help us to stay busy serving, dedicating our lives to you, knowing that one day we will be in glory in heaven with all the saints that have gone before. We thank you for that, Lord. All your love, all your grace, all your mercy, all your forgiveness, all your kindness, all your healing, all your help. You're a wonderful, awesome God. We thank you for Jesus. We thank you for his sacrifice upon the cross and the power to be raised from the dead, to show himself, and then to ascend into heaven. We thank you for sending the Holy Spirit back to empower your church with the gifts. And we thank that Jesus left us with such a wonderful prayer to inspire us, to help us, that we can pray anytime that we feel troubled. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Our hymn of preparation, a beautiful song, Sanctuary. Thank you. bow for a prayer of thanksgiving. Heavenly Father, once again, we thank you for the cross of Jesus Christ, what it means for us, what it means for the world, those who will accept. You are the way, the truth, and the life. Help the world to understand that. Help us to use the gifts that you have given to us to get the message out that just who Jesus is. He is your Son. He has the truth. Lord, thank you for that. Give us the courage to use the gifts that we have, not just giving of our monies, but our time, our talents, our energies, our intellect, everything that we are. You've given these gifts to us. We're here but a short time. Use us, prepare us for glory. In the precious name of Christ, our Lord and our Savior and our friend. Amen.
Amen.
We have a guest reader today. Mary Lou Hodson. She's tied in with Kathy and Clara and Nathaniel. Relative.
Is that good? The scripture reading today is John 14, verses 1 through 14 from the NIV version. Jesus comforts his disciples. Do not let your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. My Father's house has many rooms. If that were not so, would I have told you that I am going there to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am. You know the way to the place where I am going? Thomas said to him, Lord, we don't know where you are going, so how can we know the way? Jesus answered, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you really know me, you will know my Father as well. From now on, you do know him and have seen him. Philip said, Lord, show us the Father, and that will be enough for us. Jesus answered, don't you know me, Philip? Even after I have been among you such a long time, anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, show us the Father? Don't you believe that I am in the Father and that the Father is in me? The words I say to you, I do not speak of my own authority. Rather, it is the Father living in me who is doing his work. Believe me when I say that I am in the Father and the Father is in me, or at least believe on the evidence of the works themselves. Very truly, I tell you, whoever believes in me will do the works I have been doing, and they will do even greater things than these, because I am going to the Father. I will do whatever you ask in my name, so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. You may ask me for anything in my name, and I will do it. The word of the Lord.
Thank you. Very nice. Before I preach, I forgot to mention this during the prayer time. Did a memorial service for Ron Anderson's mother yesterday. She was 9 years old, passed away. And they were here yesterday, then had their meal next door. So let's remember Ron Anderson and family. Got a text from Carl Fogolini asking for prayers for Ann and his family. And I will tell you more about that at another time. So keep Ann and Carl Fogolini and the Andersons in your prayer. How many of you know who Eric Clapton is? Can I see a show of hands? Well, pretty much everybody. I wasn't sure if some of the older people would know his name or not. I thought I said Frank Sinatra. Well, those who don't know him, he is arguably one of the greatest living rock guitarists of all time. And he wrote a heart-wrenching song about the death of his 4-year-old son. A real tragedy fell out of a window and fell 53 stories to his death. And you can imagine being a parent what that did to him. Well, Clapton took 9 months off, and when he returned, his music had changed. The hardship had made his music softer, more powerful, and more reflective. You may have heard the song he wrote about his son's death. It's a song of hope. Would you know my name if I saw you in heaven? Would it be the same if I saw you in heaven? I must be strong and carry on, because I know I don't belong here in heaven. Would you hold my hand if I saw you in heaven? Would you help me stand if I saw you in heaven? I'll find my way through night and day, because I know I just can't stand here in heaven. Time can bring you down. Time can bend your knees. Time can break your heart, have you begging, please, begging, please. Beyond the door, there's peace, I'm sure, and I know there'll be no more tears in heaven. What a beautiful song. Now, Jesus had just had the Passover meal with his disciples. He washed his hands, their hands and feet in an act of servanthood, and he foretold betrayal that Judas would soon perform. He had predicted Peter's denial. He was told them he was leaving, but he adds these words of hope. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house there are many rooms. I go to prepare a place for you, and you will come again and take you to myself, so that where I am, you may be also. Hardships have a way of getting our attention. Pain slows us down, and it can often soften us. Very few of us, after facing a trial, come out the same way that we have entered into that trial and tribulation. And Jesus understood this and attempted to prepare his disciples for the road and the journey ahead of them. He wanted them to know, first of all, if you have faith in Jesus, you will overcome your worry. It seems almost impossible, doesn't it? Getting rid of worry. But let me tell you, that is absolutely essential for us as Christians to be worry-free. Worry distorts reality. Worry oftentimes leads us to make false conclusions. Just as I was writing this sermon this week, it seems like, I don't know, sometimes this happens. It's kind of weird. But I found myself really worrying. I found my stomach getting in a knot, which I'm not used to. It was almost to me like God wanted me to feel all that angst and all that anxiety, and what it really feels like to worry and be upset and not know which way to turn and which way to go. So I did what I'm preaching about. I went back to God, and then I went back and started looking over my sermon. And I said, Leonard, you're doing just the opposite of what Jesus said not to do, and you're going to ask your congregation not to do. And that reminded me and helped me calm back down and not worry and begin to relax. Always going to God. I heard about a plane ride where the pilot came over to intercom. We've lost one engine. No need to worry. We'll be arriving 1 hour later than anticipated. Pilot, 30 minutes later. We've lost another engine. We'll be arriving 2 hours later at our destination. Pilot, 1 hour later. We have lost our third engine. We'll be arriving 4 hours late at our destination. Passenger says to her husband, you know, I'm really starting to get worried. If that last engine goes, we're going to be up here all night. If you want to be distracted from reality, work yourself up into a good state of anxiety. If Jesus had concerns, it was that his disciples would do exactly that. When he left, they would become anxious, they would break away, and nothing would get done. And then the gospel, the good news of what work and the sacrifice he had made would not be spread to the world. So let's look at the story. Jesus has just finished having dinner with his disciples. It's early Thursday evening. Jesus has approximately 24 more hours to be with his disciples. He will be crucified the next day after an exhausting evening of arrest, interrogation, and torture. A horrible thing. And if anyone had reason to worry, it was Jesus himself. But what does he do? He introduces peace. He brings calm to the situation. He looks at his disciples who have just watched Judas leave the dinner table on a mission of betrayal, and he says, "Where I am going, you cannot come. But don't let your hearts be troubled." He tells them, "Don't be afraid." At this moment, when the tension was so thick that you could cut it with a knife, he says, "There's a haven for your troubled hearts within my Father's home. And there's a room for you there too. A room in heaven for you." I love what happens next in John. Look at how Jesus spends the last few minutes he has with his disciples. He makes use of this time. He calms their fears. Chapters 14, 15, 16, and 17 record an after-dinner conversation which strengthens their soul. Listen to some of the promises that you find within these chapters. First, he says, "Yes, I'm leaving you, but don't let your hearts be troubled. I am sending you the Holy Spirit to help you remember what I have taught you." The Holy Spirit came on the day of Pentecost. 2,000 were saved, and the church was born in reality. Second, he says, "Don't have troubled hearts because I leave my peace with you. Not the peace of the world, but my peace." The world's peace is always temporary, but the peace we have with God can continue through eternity. Then he says, "Don't let your hearts be troubled because I am the vine and you are the branches. You will bear fruit as long as you remain in me. Make me the source." Fourth, and this is wonderful, he says, "I love you. And I hope that you feel loved by God. I want you to know beyond a shadow of a doubt this day, regardless of what's going on in your life, regardless of a sin that you may have committed, God Almighty loves you and wants to be in relationship with you." Fifth, and he's frank with them, he tells them, "The world is going to hate you, but don't have troubled hearts about it. You don't belong to the world. Remember, they persecuted me, and no servant is greater than the master." Next, he is honest. He tells them that they will grieve when he leaves. Then he says, "But one day your grief will turn to joy." To joy. And finally, he prays. He prays for himself. He prays for his disciples. And he prays for us, the future church. Isn't that a remarkable after-dinner conversation? John has 21 chapters, and 5 of them record the events of Thursday night around the dinner table, the time before and after before his death. Jesus wants them to be ready, to be calm, to be free of a troubled heart, trying to get them to understand that he will not be there, but whatever happens, it will be okay. You can handle it. I'll be there with you. The Holy Spirit will be there. He wanted them to know if they have faith in him, they will overcome their worry. Secondly, that they will find direction for their life. Now, there are many ways to find direction in life, knowing who will marry, what profession we'll choose, how much money to put away for retirement. These are all important decisions, but none are more important than the spiritual decisions we make in our life. Who is going to help you make those kinds of decisions? Karl Barth was lecturing to a group of students at Princeton. One student asked the German theologian, "Sir, don't you think that God has revealed himself in other religions and not only in Christianity?" Barth's answer stunned the crowd. With a modest thunder, he answered, "No, God has not revealed himself in any religion. He has revealed himself in his Son." In no uncertain terms, Let me say to you this morning that there are three great religions in the world: Judaism, Islam, and Christianity. And they're all kind of small ones. But there is only one Son of God. One alone. Only one for whom God has revealed himself, and only one whose teachings stand above all others. My friends, I proclaim to you this morning that Jesus is the way. Jesus is the truth. Jesus is the life for all men, for all women. And finally, he wanted them to know, if you have faith in me, you will have help along the way. But what kind of help is Jesus talking about? In verse 12, he says that we will do great works. In verse 14, he says that all we have to do is ask and he will do it. So who is going to do the work? Will Jesus do the work? Or do I do the work? Do you do the work? A well-known preacher many years ago by the name of Leslie Weatherhead tells a story on himself. When he was a high school student, he was having a very difficult examination coming up, and he was having trouble studying. Then he had discovered one of the verses here in John 14, and says, "Whatever you ask in my name, I will do it." He believed the verse meant that all he had to do was ask and he would pass the exam. He told God he believed God's promise and he wanted a good grade. The next day, young Weatherhead took the examination, but when the grades were in, he failed miserably. He was disillusioned. He rebelled and almost lost his faith over it. He came to the conclusion that the promises of the Bible were not good, all because God had not granted his wish for a good grade. The next year, he repeated that course. He worked hard and he passed. This time he decided, "I did it alone. I don't need God." He thought that he could get along by himself. And after some years had passed, Dr. Weatherhead came to understand that his own powers and his abilities, everything that he had, were in reality the power that God had given to him. He began to realize that God had already given him the power to pass the examination, but he had not used that power the first go around. The power is there for each of us to use. Not the kind of power that bails us out, but the kind of power that helps us to shape our lives. The kind of help that says, "I will strengthen your soul so you can learn not to worry when the times are rough and difficult." The kind of help that doesn't show us the way, but rather becomes our way. Because he is our way. He is our truth. He is our very life. The kind of help that doesn't do the works for us, but rather teaches us and strengthens us to use our gifts and talents to do good deeds and good works in the world. One of the best ways to get rid of a troubled heart, I think, is to turn around and be a servant. Get your mind off of your problems and help someone else with theirs. People who are giving and serving spend less time worrying and more in being busy using the talents and gifts that the Holy Spirit has endowed them with. Remember, God loves you. No matter what is happening to you or will happen, the anxiety in that situation will pass. But doing something positive, reactive, helps. Just sitting and worrying will not do anybody any good. And remember, ultimately, God is in control. God has empowered you with the Holy Spirit. God loves you. And God has a place in heaven just for you. Just for you. There's a room in heaven. Some say mansions. I don't know what it's just going to be like. I'll be glad to get a room. Bless you. God bless you. Amen. A hymn of response, 355, Trusting Jesus. Mm-hmm. leave the sanctuary today. May you go leaving your troubled hearts behind. Put your faith and your trust in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Lean on the power of the Holy Spirit that fills you up. Go to your Bible. Go to prayer. Go to a friend. Seek resolution. Do what you can to solve problems. But worry will not solve your problems. It just deepens them. Go in faith. Go in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.